Or do?
Good morning, everyone. It is 9 o'clock, Tuesday, October the 4th. Welcome to the regular meeting with Board of County Commissioners, Los Angeles County. This meeting is being called to order. Please rise. Commissioner Tony Haas, would you please lead us to the location?
Yes. Dear God, thank you for bringing us to the beginning of the week. We ask that you figure out the venue from yesterday. In the past week and next, for your guidance and mercy this week. Teach us to walk with you and justly. All your glory.
Amen. Sheriff Alvarez, would you please lead us on the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, Mr. Warren County.
Commissioner Luis Lopez.
Here.
Commissioner Hess.
Here.
Commissioner Kitty Schools.
Here. Approval of the agenda. Do we have any changes to the agenda, Mr. Warren County?
No changes, Commissioner.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
Move for approval of the agenda. Second motion.
Commissioner Luis Lopez.
Yes.
Commissioner Hess.
Yes.
Commissioner Kitty Schools.
Yes. Thank you. Section 2, consideration of minutes, regular meeting minutes of August 2nd, 2022. Fellow commissioners, we have read the minutes. Do we have any question, any discussion? Otherwise, I will entertain a motion.
Motion to approve regular meeting minutes of August 2nd, 2022.
Second motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Kitty Schools?
Yes. Reading of correspondence, commissioners, committee reports. Commissioner Luis Lopez, would you like to go first?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Good morning, everybody. Happy 10-4 day, as a trucker would appreciate it. It's 10-4, good buddy. Speaking of 10-4 in transportation, we had the Front Range Passenger Rail meeting on the 23rd. We have adopted our bylaws, the legal counsel has been obtained. We are moving forward for our next meeting and upcoming summit, where the entire board of directors will be meeting together, finally face to face. There was a concern brought up by the fellow members of the Front Range Passenger Rail regarding the grant that the city of Trinidad received for track repair and maintenance in this region of our world, the tune of $6 million. Some of the other board members were requesting that we use it for the Broken Range organization, not realizing it was a grant to the city of Dallas. So we were able to inform the other board members how that worked, and then secured that $6 million for the city of Trinidad. And I reiterate, the $6 million is not for multimodal, it is for track and track only. So we cannot use that for any of the money. But they're going for it. They wanted it to receive that money to put in the Front Range office, but in fact, belongs to the city. Of so we're able to get that clarification for you. On the 26th, we were, had our exit interview with our auditor, which went well with Lion Colors. It's probably the best audit is we'll be having open for discussion for the community pretty soon. After turbulent times of coming in as commissioner 6.5 years ago with some of the dire straits of finances that I have received, when we were closed 2 days a week, I'm happy to report that Los Angeles County is fiscally sound and in a way better situation than we were in. So I thank our excellent staff for assisting with us on this audit and the board, and we applaud for their efforts according to our audit. On the 27th, We had a CDOT meeting with Otero County Commissioners regarding Highway 350. Long story short, it is going to remain as is, which is going to be closed to through traffic, but open with a shoe fly around one bridge and a detour on two county roads in Otero County for local traffic. So local traffic means some of our armored renters, our aid producers that need to get to Lebanon and vice versa, in this way. So that was maintain and see how to move forward with closing the village. Road will be October 17th. So if you're not local traffic or a community for hauling cattle to the Bahana sale, please use the detour to get on the 5 to Walsenburg, Highway 10 to Lebanon. On 9/29, we had the Council of Governments special board meeting. Basically, we met to finalize a purchase, not purchase, I'm sorry, the RFP, the request for proposal for our bus barn in Walsenburg, which we're moving forward with that. We'll be adding that on to the facility on Holt Street. That is going to be the new senior center along with Council of Governments. Up there. So it's going to be a nice facility all over the one roof and our bus barn. So we'll be expanding our bus transportation in the Walsenburg Urban County region. And that same evening, I had a Board of Health special meeting with the Workmore County Commissioners regarding issues of the new facility that the Board of Health will be building up there. There was a discrepancies regarding securing the land to move forward with the next process in the grant. The Board of County Commissioners did go ahead and make a consent to write a letter to the Board of Health regarding this issue and securing land for the Board of Health to move forward in the next process. So that was really necessary. We have a design, we have a bill. We don't have the land, and there's some issues there that the Board of Workmore County Commissioners need some questions answered. So I believe we're moving to the next step. So thank God that will be happening soon. And then we move into our regular Board of Health meeting. Nothing much happening on that. We can discuss the budgets and coming forward with our audit here next month. We'll have that finalized. And when we've got news to report, the COVID cases are somewhat going down every month. They will have some more buses coming in for vaccines if necessary. And then there's zero cases of monkeypox in our region. So that's good. That's not important.
Thank you, sir. Commissioner Tony has.
On the 22nd of September, I met with the Commissioner of Ag, Kate Greenberg. The conversation revolved around the Bureau of Animal Protection. And what was going to happen with the new direction that they're going? They're going to be trying to revamp the education and the law enforcement trainings. There's a 3-year plan to do so. Secretary Vilsack and CBA had awarded our Colorado Department of Ag a $25 million grant. Some of that's been used for the STAR program. It's a climate mitigation program. 16 conservation districts, 130 volunteers have taken advantage of that program, as well as 8 other states. It's supposed to develop new market opportunities, and incentives are being given for those that participate. And I am on that soil health advisory committee appointed by Kate. There's a lack of funding right now for that program, so I'm unable to attend the meetings that they're holding in Grand Junction and Grand Lake and those areas because they have no money in their fund balance for their travel. And $5 a gallon commissioners up that trip. And
Then on the 26th, I found out that I was appointed to the National Association of Counties Hike Wildlife and Rural Affairs Committee, Steering Committee. The first call of the year was held on the 26th. And Terry Wilber from New York will be the new chair. He's a vegetable and grain grower there. We had 21 participants in the conversation in that meeting. Revolved around the Inflation Reduction Act, IRA. There's going to be climate and energy provisions, tax incentives, tax credits, ag production credits, environmental quality, conservation skills program, agriculture conservation program, and another program that will be for underserved farmers and their grain production. I was concerned that the cattle producer is going to have to follow these guidelines also, and there's no incentive for them. And my discussion with them was we need to ensure that they have to participate, that they get the incentives also. So that's what we're moving forward with. On the 27th, I have a lengthy discussion with Bob Junior from CDOT. And Commissioner Lopez alluded to what's going on with 350. And she was asking me for my clearance or behind my permission, basically, that they could shut that road down completely. And I said, I can't make that call for you, Angie. You have to do that. Because that's not my, that's not even in my district or anyway. Terrell County is, you don't want to step out of your realm there, so I stayed my name and told her, I will not answer that question for you, that's on you. On the 29th, I had a meeting with the representative from Bola, Terry Marshall, Chantel, who is the director under Rick Garcia, and they wanted an explanation of the moving, the wildfire urban interface building. So I gave him what knowledge I have, and then we discussed our projects in the county, one of them being the airport improvements. Then on the 29th, I also attended the grand opening of the Creative Arts District. It was well attended. I imagine it was 145 people there, and that was quite a celebration. Then on September 30th, also, we had the CCI legislative ballot discussion. And there was going to be five initiatives that CCI would be tracking, one of them being Proposition 122, which is access to the psychedelic substances. And that met with a lot of opposition, a lot of conversation, pretty good dialogue over that one. The main consideration there would be make mushrooms legal as I think you restricted it in the place.
Who's introducing this crap?
Not sure who the proponents are. Maybe Felix can tell you. It was crap. It was pretty heated. Proposition 123 would dedicate state income tax revenues for affordable housing. That was another topic that was highly contested. Proposition 124 concerning liquor licenses and wine sales in grocery stores. Proposition 126 was for the delivery of alcohol beverages, door to door and deliver your alcohol. Proposition 123 sets a $150 million the first year, $300 million the second year, sets aside for capacity to build housing for homeless. And this initiative would make counties responsible for 60% of the 100% of the project. So we'd get a 60% day of five. local governments can opt in or opt out, that was the question that I asked, and I didn't get a clear answer to you. And that's a good point.
Thank you, sir. And let me expound just a little bit on that proposition 122, the approval of psychedelic mushrooms. Please read through it, and there is a border guide on online. You can go to any website, pretty much it's going to tell you. But one of the questions that we had a pretty good discussion, my question to the proponent was, can counties opt out or municipalities? And the answer was no. Now, they're not attempting to set up dispensaries yet, so it would be by description only. So my argument to them was, since we are a border county with the Mexico Sheriff, and speaking of thinking of you, we're going to increase traffic again, and so from bordering states coming to get prescription mushrooms. So that's going to be a very controversial thing. And then, of course, the opponents came, and one of the things they spoke about is all the physiological impact that this mushroom could have or will have. And so they even went into, in the science perspective, that indeed it could create more harm than good. So with Proposition 122, so thank you for highlighting that. And yes, indeed, Commissioner Luis Lopez, I want to resonate once again the thanks and congratulations to our finance team here in San Luis County, to the administrative team, for a strong year-end budget, December 31, 2021. And I like to quote one of the paragraphs that is on the budget audit report is, represents a strong financial position throughout all accounts in accordance with accounting principles generally accepted in the United States of America. So the county doing absolutely fantastic. I want to say to all of you, thank you so much, and every department really standing pretty strong on that. The one of the meetings that we held, opioid, the region 19, which is comprised of nine counties, Baca, Bent, Crowley, Huerfano, Cayo, Los Animas, Otero, and Pueblo counties, we are now in the process of going out and requesting RFPs for the services of education, prevention, treatment, and recovery. So one of the things that we're doing, I'm going to be serving on the RFP evaluation group. And once we award this, it's going to be for the entire region, for the nine counties. The dollars keep flowing in. We think that the state of Colorado will receive probably in excess of $500 million when it's all said and done, to be spent over 18 years. So our region, the first appropriation, and I don't want to put a number in here because that's still being adjusted, we hope that the first disbursement is going to be early in 2023, so we can begin to provide services with the Region 19. And by the way, Region 19 has been one of the regions that has just advanced a little bit more than others. But the RFP is going to be granting money. We're going to be contracting services for prevention and education services related to the opioid pandemic. When you look at the map of those nine counties per capita, we are probably above average when it comes to that type of a challenge for our community and our constituents. We will be, in a sense, having now very close monitoring meetings as we go through the process of awarding RFPs. How many companies are we going to be employing? How many companies, depending on the topic, depending on the dollars? But we'll keep you posted. A lot of work is being done on that. A big shout out, I just want to give a huge shout out to Colorado Counties Incorporated personnel working directly with the National Association of Counties, Mr. Matt Chase. I gave him the executive director of NACO, made a phone call to him for helping counties get the a PIL appropriation, which actually ended up being PIL times three, which Los Angeles County gets an appropriation of about just slightly over $300,000 per year. That's payment in lieu of taxes. You can actually go to National Association of Counties, and there is a big write-up in there how the both the Senate and the House appropriated these dollars for Los Angeles County. It's going to be on a two-year disbursement. It's going to be impactful because with those dollars, we're going to be able to do some projects that will fit within the scope of the appropriation. But huge shout out to the entire House, United States House of Representatives delegation here in the state of Colorado, as well as the Senate delegation, because they supported this, they got behind the whole thing, and at the end of the day, lobbying really works. So, and then commissioners, later on my report, there is a request of letter of support from the Stonewall Fire District fire mitigation, so I'll forward that to you, Mr. President, and take a look at that. They would like to have this back in their applying for a grant. They send that directly to me, but I think better off if we approve that as the board for fire mitigation. So that would be my report. And yes, sir.
One thing that I forgot to mention is a big shout out to Joey Steiner and the Earth Mountain Farm. Their farm had been taken in a meeting that they had the other night at a lot of federation. How was that? They did a fantastic job, and they so what they grew, they prepared and served to us. It was well attended. There, I believe it was 6 days, and Jody does a fantastic job. She educates 30 children on average every year to where their food comes from and how to provide that food. And they're in the process of fund making now, and they need some funds to move forward for next year. They plan to double the participation in the program this next year. So good job, Jody.
This is then from part of land on Linden Street, for the local park. It's such a great program.
They have two of those community gardens down there compared to that program too.
Thank you, commissioners. Let's have elected officials update. We have a message from our county assessor. She does not have any updates. She's attending a meeting. Also, clerk and recorder, one reminder, I don't know if you're online, Mr. Messers, but I'll read what you send. The ballots will be mailed October 17th. So they're coming around the corner. And let me go to now Treasurer Donna Leonetti. Any updates? Okay. District Attorney, Mr. Henry Solano. Any updates from County Coroner, Mr. Junie Berker? Our County Surveyor, Mr. Gary Terry. And we have Sheriff Navarrete with us today, sir. Do you have any updates for us?
Yes.
Thank you, and welcome, and good morning.
Speaking on our medical program, so as we were alluding to our crisis, drug issues in our community, I wanted to give the board an update on what we met in the sheriff's office to address that. So, scouts and handouts are quite lengthy. I didn't know how to get this far back. After we put it down on paper, since 2010, we've been in partnership with our Gothenburg partner, jail. So we put together quite a few updates. I didn't realize that much about it.
Let's go over a few points of it.
And while the sheriff is passing this information, we have had a couple of meetings with a group that is. Identifying the jail standards commission parameters, and I know you probably won't mention this, but one of the shout outs to you, Sheriff, and your team is that the information that is going to be coming out of Los Angeles County on the services provided was presented in France, the nation of France, and there was a conference which a Colorado representative went out there, and I was so impacted and impressed that Los Angeles County, when it comes to jail standards, preparedness procedures, and adhering to the legislative mandates, Sheriff, thank you for inviting me to that meeting, and what an honor to hear that this county is represented at the international level. And then, I don't know if you already attended the conference, but Las Vegas also.
Yes, that would be the end of this month, that was asked.
Very good. I just wanted, I don't want you to hold back, so please.
That's quite a bit. I realize that it's much of an event since we brought in all the partners. But I just want to point out our dedicated assisted treatment program, which is the MAP program. I'm not sure if you're aware, but the House Bill 2213-26 is now requiring all jails to have those programs in place. And they don't include the care of people kind of identified that already a couple years ago, just through our assessments. And I have attached a couple of months of assessments through some grants that we were able to obtain. This is the result of those assessments that you have behind that packet. So attached are the months of August and September. What we do is we screen, it's called a dual screen. When inmates come in, they are screened for drug abuse, drug addiction, and also mental health. So if you look at the charts, there's quite a bit of issues we've got going on this week. So that's how we started identifying those and putting them on paper, which is in turn has gotten us a lot more ground reports because they see the chatter. If you have any questions, I'm over to collect, but you can see quite a bit of problems. So when we looked at it, probably 74% of our jail population that's and coming in is either drug addiction or mental health or both, combination of both. That's how we've been addressing this issue and moving forward. So, in 2020, we started to get these assessments. So what we did is work with our medical provider, which has done a great job in getting us ahead of the game. We actually have probably three or four inmates that are actually in the MAP program today, which they're getting medication assistance for their addictions, either mental or opioid or whatever it is. But what our goal is to get them on these medications, get them through the program, transition them into the community, keeping them on whatever meds they need. In turn, we're hoping that this will reduce the rate of return. I think to our staff, we've already seen about a 40% decrease with the same inmates we have. A lot of them are sleeping in the program. So basically, we're moving forward with that. So we're ahead of that House bill. We look at nationally, we analyze that as I start seeing a lot of jails and institutions in the United States.
Congratulations, Sheriff Gilbert. And so this mandate, what's the cost of that?
We're getting a grant funding from the jail behavioral based services, which is the state. It's not obviously a grant, it's money that's been given through legislation. But it's been given to assist with this program, but there's not enough of it to go down. We're getting a good majority of that, hundreds of thousands of dollars. On what we're doing with our assessments and things we put on paper that are seeing it and reporting this actually moving forward.
Sure. Sheriff, talk about the Tri-County initiative that is being worked on.
Yeah, and also through this program, we've identified several counties in our area that, such as Crowley, Mills, city counties that account for this. They're just small, very small in the yard. So what we've done is we've come together with some state representatives, state people who give you about, we're looking at a jail base out of the old direction facility also. Looking at maybe this could be implemented to bring together these kind of inmates so they can take care of especially there. That way, these smaller jails will not do that out there. Commissioner Lopez was able to sit in on that meeting. I think he didn't realize how much issues that we have going on with the trying to get issues. That's in the process now. So we're going to announce our meeting tonight. We're going to try to get a few meetings, which might cost some money. So CCI was involved in that, and that's why I asked you to be part of that.
So the recommendation from a state representative from Bolton that met with the group, the Jail Standards Commission, we had she and I had a very robust conversation at this particular meeting. And one of the things doing a feasibility study for this south part of the state is great. As one of the things that I reminded her is. This is an unfunded mandate for counties, and counties do not have the capacity, the debt, or ability to make the expense whole and alone. She understood that, and so the recommendation, and the conversation, and she took it pretty, I think, genuinely that she's going to take it back and see if not only we do a feasibility study for Southern Colorado, but for the entire state of Colorado, because. What's going to happen at the end of the day, our county does not have the ability to provide the services as a standalone is going to be a monumental task. But I think in the words of Sheriff Navarrete, we had the conversation and the messaging that needed to be put out there with that representative, and now she's going to go and have a coalition of elected officials. Because this particular legislation put a bunch of unfunded mandates in counties, we cannot, and otherwise we will not be able to meet the requirements. And there was a little bit of a pushback at the beginning between she and I, because she said counties need to make jails a priority. And I reminded her that indeed we do. Indeed we do make our jails a priority. However, with all the unfunded mandates that are coming our way, we need to leave the taxpayers alone for more to pay for these unfunded mandates, specifically right now in the middle of the this inflationary period where people are barely making by. And then I had an opportunity to describe to where rural Los Angeles County is, how many people we have on public assistance, the median income. Great conversation. So I hope that the feasibility study goes to the next phase and level, and absolutely correct. We're going to have, hopefully, a round table with the entire CCI membership, because this is one of those very important topics of discussion, because every county is going to go through that. Now, larger counties do have the funding, but for us, we're going to have to partner and work with other counties to be able to cover those expenses.
And I think it could be more of a statewide issue, because not only do we address the drug addiction, but also there's other issues. State hospital. So this facility could also help that has an option.
Yeah, the Washington facility has 700 plus beds. And it's sad that we're looking at this, but it's one of those needs that how do you fund it? Who pays for it? And I think the state said you need to do this, so they should be the ones that fund it.
I agree.
One thing, Mr. Chairman, is Sheriff Navarrete, you've been innovative since you become sheriff in Los Angeles County with these funding mechanisms. We'll start off with your initiative with COVID, just a comment. The state followed Los Angeles County's health department and sheriff department's way of accomplishing safety in our jails when COVID first hit back in 2019. Just a reminder for the public, the Polis, the CPHP modeled that surrounding Los Angeles County Health Department and Sheriff Department, how they handle our inmates incarceration. So number one, you were innovative in that, and now with this program here, you're being sought after. I just want to say great job in being innovative and also keeping the funding on track. As I mentioned earlier, my commissioner report, this is the best exit interview I've ever seen with our auditors. Ms. Foley, our administrator, Ms. Warrenkamp, and you come together to figure this out, and I'm sure it's a lot of work. But you haven't gone over budget since you've become undersheriff or acting sheriff and now elected sheriff. And I want to applaud you for that because law enforcement is 24/7. Very difficult to stay on that track without overspending. And be innovative, at the same time, kudos to your department. Please pass that on to everybody who knows about me.
Is that facility in Watsonburg, is it private? No?
Yes, it's owned by a corporation. I can't remember the name. That has been, they've been contacting me since they've been about selling it or how that works, right? Like, corporation.
Yeah, I kind of read someplace that it is privately owned. And the idea would be to house this jail to community offenders that would be able to get into the transition mode to reduce recidivism. And then, of course, we spoke about the opportunities with the college to have inside training programs and even graduates from universities and colleges in the state of Colorado that are going through psychology master's degree so they can actually do internships and tons of opportunity if indeed this comes to pass. Now, the idea that if we get 6-7 counties working together, that might be doable. It would be a heavy lift for one county.
That's what we identify our jail in our county, and that's applied to try to prevent this addition. Not only on the street, we've got a K-9 unit. That's not out on the street. What we're seeing is we can move our jail with homies and the things we have, so this is what we're trying to do. To keep this thing from over us. More of that, we can go in down the jail. So taking a proactive approach, this is
what makes it difficult for law enforcement, including our courts, is the legislators keep reducing the penalties for drug possession, or they actually just decriminalize them, period. And now with this new issue with mushrooms coming into the community, it just makes it more difficult for law enforcement to do the job. So I recommend that folks on the call listening today in the audience reach out to your legislators, ask them to stop these ridiculous regulations and legislation, because well, it's putting some pressure on. And then we have to incorporate these types of studies, these types of mandates that are coming down from the state level, and continue the drug rehab program. You know, law enforcement is not drug rehab, but obviously we aren't. So
that would be in our role in trying to correct this. Trying to focus on what you have to do this year as a commissioner. This is what we're doing here. That's why we've updated this last season and that's on this crisis. Thank you, Chair. I hope that works. I see one of my years here is we get these people in jail, we clean, back out, they fall off, or back in jail, or worse. Exhausting to see this in our community.
Any questions? Congrats. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff. Section five, public comment. Do we have anyone for public comment?
No one signed up, Commissioner.
Anyone online that would like to take this opportunity for public comment? Just unmute yourself or raise your hand. Okay. Let's go to section six, unfinished business, consideration of 2023 insurance renewal change. Mr. Warren Camp and Lawyer Director Corbin.
I will refer to Mr. Corbin.
So, did you copy the invoice yesterday?
Yeah.
So I wanted to show you that the rate had changed from 22 to 23. So I spoke to the lady at Helpful. She just says that it's up to you if you want to add or to change anything on here. I don't know if you reviewed it or to change anything. The dental price stayed the same. Health insurance went up 5%. So you'll see that difference. Vision stayed the same. She didn't know if you wanted to add any other plans on the medical.
Yes, and so for employees, do they have to fill out a form? They have no changes from
yes.
They don't get.
So once they receive this, they actually send us packets.
Right.
You know everything, and then we'll actually get it in there and disperse it to every employee. They can say no change, no other changes.
Commissioners, any questions?
So if we go with the changes, who absorbs that cost?
Right now the employees do, but since our budget is the final, the commissioners can make the choice if they want to actually absorb the 5%. In proposed, there's no changes to salaries or anything like that. But we set the final budget in December. So where commissioners decide to absorb the 5%, that can be that decision. So right now, you'll see on the packet, we pay $651. Every employee, as we contribute to insurance.
This is a big comparison. So, the approximately additional $35 per employee.
Yeah, absolutely correct. Yeah. Because I think the 5% is about 45, but it depends on what plan.
Right.
But if you look at the whole entire thing, it's about, it's about $35, $32 that
we're going to increase it to. Basically, today we're just reviewing. And moving forward with the rate changes.
Correct. That's all needs to be signed, send it back to the insurance, and then we can put it back to
you. You really don't have a choice.
Correct.
Yeah.
If we want to help her.
And then from there, we can make a decision and find a budget. Time to move
forward. All right. Any more discussion, commissioners? Otherwise, I will entertain a motion.
Motion to approve the 2023 insurance renewal change.
Second motion. Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Weisselhofer?
Yes.
Commissioner Casey?
Yes. Section 7, new business, consideration of proclamation for Residents' Rights Month, October 2022. And I think we have a guest this morning with us, and or please come up. It's probably an evening.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Elizabeth Kelly. I'm your long-term care ombudsman for the hospital government. Also, if you are familiar with our program, and I just wanted to show up in person this year. You all have so graciously signed this proclamation in the past years, and I just thought it was important to kind of put a face to some of the residents that I represent all over the Los Angeles County. So, the Ombudsman Program is a nationwide program. We are ombudsmen all throughout our country. We were authorized under the Older Americans Act many years ago, and then the Older Colorado Act at the state level reinforces what we do. But like I said, I just wanted to thank you again for recognizing residents of assisted living and nursing facilities in our community by signing the Residents' Rights Month proclamation. I will actually read this proclamation after you sign it to the residents at their monthly resident council meeting. So they will hear from you in that way. And as your constituents, you know, many of these folks are people with stories that I get to hear from folks who live live in long-term care. Our founding members, lived in Los Angeles County and now legacy experience that quite many of you do. And we just really want to recognize them and to remember them. If you're blind, you know, I know you're busy. Thank you for all the business that you all do in this community. But make a visit, perhaps, consider sending a note. Because I have thought about trying to bring someone here with me, a resident, to meetings so that we could, you know, select me talking, but it's actually been having a terrific approach to their elected representative, Ms. Fran Chop, with mobility issues and so forth. So, I'll have to do just and I did want to share if I could just as I leave this morning. We've got the proclamation recently, I'm not gonna read the whole thing, but we do have approximately 250 residents in long-term care throughout our region. As we have one nursing home here in Trinidad, and one is living. So it's nice to have choices. We talk about your budget discussions. Medicaid is the primary care in every nursing home, every long-term care facility in the United States. So we have a system where being in long-term care is really complex and not for today's discussion, but they are at the end of our continuum. People in our communities that you don't see very often. So I do want them to be represented by yeah. So I'm just going to pass this out.
Please.
And this is just our brochure. I have a, these are door hangers, and they actually are made by residents of nursing homes across the country. But what this is a door hanger, you may recognize, staying in hotels. And it just says, please knock, this is my home. And again, this is just art that was created by nursing home residents. On the back, it has a list of some of the residents' rights that one of my people have. So thank you. Any questions for me?
You mentioned that you're going to be doing a presentation to the residents. When would that be? And if you can send that to us, we may, one or two or three of us, maybe be able to attend.
That would be super. And each nursing home has it on a different day. It's like the second or third Wednesday every month. So I attend those meetings. And it's really a way for the residents to talk about issues or concerns that they have about their care or things that are going well. But yes, I can definitely do that. I would have to ask the president's permission.
Sure.
Because it's their meeting, and so I follow their lead with everything that they do. We're president directed. So I can't, we work closely, for instance, with the Department of Human Services, Health Protection, that kind of thing. But we're kind of different. We are there for the resident. We sort of stand next to them, and they tell us. I always say to them, I'm your boss, and you should meet with. So we don't ever hear in any one situation unless I ask, but I do make myself know regularly and visit facilities. Yes, so
thank you for being here today with us. And as a board member of the Council of Governments, this organization is so dear to my heart. That's why I advocate every year for funding for the Council of Governments, because this is one of the many programs this group puts on out of our community. Probably 50% of us sitting at this panel who will be needing this office services within these days. And by being first. But I just want to say thank you and your entire team, your staff, folks that you work with, Ronnie Cornelius, the AAA program, Jennifer Oliver, our director of special roles. Please pass on our sincere thanks for everything that you guys do for our community. Thank you for being with us.
Which I will, and I'll let the residents.
Mr. Dark Cap, please read the resolution.
Proclamation of the Board of County Commission of Los Angeles County, Colorado, National Long Term Care Residents, 1922 proclamation. Whereas there are 1.3 million individuals living in 15,613 homes, and over 800,000 individuals living in 28,116 living slash residential care facilities in the U.S. And there is a federal nursing home reform act of 1987 guarantees residents individual rights in order to promote and maintain their dignity and autonomy, and whereas all residents should be aware of their rights and that they be empowered to live with dignity and self-determination, and whereas we wish to honor and celebrate these residents to recognize the rich individual to reaffirm their right to vote and participate politically, for the right to have a say in their care, and resident individuals and groups across the country, including the region. Area agency on aging, AAA, and long term care on lessons. We celebrate the residents' rights month in October 2022 with the theme inspiring unity within our community, emphasizing the importance of fostering equal community within the facility and encouraging residents collect connection to their local community. And whereas there are more than 100 individuals in long term care communities. Los Angeles County now, therefore, it will resolve that the Board of County Commission, the Board of Los Angeles County Commission, is elected by November 2022, as Los Angeles County Long-Term Care Residents' Rights, on motion made, and seconded and further both those resolutions adopted this day on October 2022, by order of the Board of County Commission, Los Angeles County, Colorado, followed by your signature.
Mr. Board, have any more discussion, commissioners? Otherwise, I will entertain a motion.
Move for approval of the National Long-Term Care Residents' Rights Month proclamation.
Second motion.
Commissioner Lisi, please.
Yes.
Commissioner Hess.
Yes.
Commissioner Peterson, please.
Yes. Thank you once again for being here with us. Appreciate it. 7B, consideration of 22-C0054 house retaining wall. Change orders number one, number two, and number three, Mr. Bronkamp.
Commissioner, before you for your consideration, are the change orders 22-C005, 1, 2, and 3. One is when the contractor who got the award did a test section with the materials that get specified. There was what is called honeycombing against the forms. These are forms we're trying to maintain the marsh that's part of the wall, and also the ditches that are part of the wall. There's some honeycomb going on, and the problem was that the material that I specified, the aggregate can be up to an inch and a half in size. The biggest stuff that they used was a 1 inch minus material, but contractor tried to vibrate it and also hammering the sides of the forms to try and prevent that from happening, but it still occurred. And the concern was you over vibrate the concrete to the point where your cement, water over the top of all your heavy materials, your aggregate, etc., for the bottoms of the UMS, all the wall in this case. So the idea was kicking around to go with a smaller aggregate, a 3/8 inch nominal size. And have a cement stamp ratio of 50-50. When typically with the original design, it was a 1/3, 2/3 stamp concrete mix. So the contractor is requesting a change to go from the inch and a half, potentially inch and a half, and all size to 3/8 size for 50-50 cement mix. The strength of the concrete would be at 3,000 PSI, which is still very sufficient for a retaining wall, and it will be retained as far as lateral pressures against the dirt is going back to the distance. So, I should consider that. Change order number one. Change order number two. During the excavation process, and I'm sure we'll go into some more during this process, there are storm drains that were encountered that were part of the bid documents, because later in there when we did bid documents, we had drains coming off the roof that are buried that no one knew about, and at least two of them. And so in order to accommodate the wall location, one of those drains would have to be taken underneath the footer of the retaining wall, brought back up and then tied into the signature as storm drain, storm drains. And the estimate on that is $3,800. So it's change order number two. Initial deadline extension. Contractors also asked to extend the deadline from September 30th, which has already passed, but the request of this change prior to that deadline to December 31st of this year. There are concerns about concrete freezing. They have lapped to prevent that from happening. We're using CDOT specifications, public power transportation specifications. Then there are documents they do state with the contractors to make sure that warm concrete doesn't freeze and do the concrete frozen well. So that is the third change order. So that's the contract. Total price right now is $329,930. $3,800 if the bid proves the storm drain. $3,800 change. That price will be taken to $332,730. So that's the board to consider for all these change orders individually. And we'll see from there.
Mr. Garland Camp, any questions, commissioners?
I have a lot of questions. Your request is to do each.
I'd like the board to consider each one individually. Consider it as a group, I think it's one. Whatever the term is.
The only question I have, Mr. Gordon Camp, is also to work directly with the contractor to prevent any fixing, any damages. And my question would be also to the contractor is, in the event that the concrete freezes or damages, what is the warranty after installation? You know, concrete does two things. It gets real hard and it's going to crack. That probably is one of those things. But just to work closely with the contractor as the project ensues.
Hello.
Right, commissioners, I will entertain three separate motions.
Motion to approve 22C005 wall change order number one.
Second motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Motion to approve change order IFB number 22-C005 number two.
Second motion.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Motion to approve IFB 22-C005 change order number three.
Second motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Kingston?
Yes.
Thanks, Commissioner.
Thank you. 7C, consideration of 2023 proposed budget. Finance Director Overton.
Does anybody have any questions? After you reviewed it, do you want me to highlight a few things?
I thank you for that. I personally don't have any questions. I spent the last couple of days going through pretty much in detail. I don't think there's any big surprises in there. I'm speaking as someone that kind of enjoys this kind of stuff. You know, Sunday was one of those days that I just went through it and reads well, balances, and I think recognizes where the time makes sense.
Yes, this is just proposed. Assessed valuation can change in because right now it shows our property taxes increased by 600,000. It can change. Just a few highlights in there. It's we're request three new vehicles, one for extension, one for admin, and one for our truck maintenance. Jenny did ask if we could budget for some rock, some decorative rock for that once they leave the wall. So I did have a little bit to capital expenditure for that. There's no salary increases or anything in here. Discuss with the new commissioners on that. You do have a proposed number for the HVAC of $5 million. And you're hopefully with a couple grants, it would be funding built. We did have some other funded and grants. I know, I'm so sorry. We'll share the funds, okay? Yeah, there's really nothing I'm saying, other than just like you guys.
I reviewed that, no questions, good job.
Commissioner Rass, any questions or advice? I'll entertain a motion.
Move for approval of the 2023 proposed budget.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Lisa Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Rass?
Yes.
Commissioner Thompson?
Yes.
I will email this to all departments and getting the papers that we want.
There you go. Appreciate that.
Commissioner, on the side of, we will be meeting with the union. That part of this, not to be such a very mean time to discuss what the union would like to see as far as issue.
I think, you know, I size the board, I would also like to see that addressing the thing with that salary structure. Thank you. Seven B, consideration of liquor license renewal for the Royal Harbor Council.
If I may interject, Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Before we get started, I know the application seems to be in order, and I believe the council will express that opinion as well. However, the Board of Health member, and also an email recently that came from Robert. From the health department. This particular establishment has not been inspected for a couple of years from the Board of Health Department, which puts them in non-compliance with another county agency that will kind of, well, it doesn't kind of, it puts them out of compliance for us to move forward with this at this time. Until this is resolved with the Board of Health, and I don't know if Mrs. Sykes is on the call. I know she in her email, she said she wasn't able to attend. Do we have anybody from the Board of Health on? So my recommendation would be that we move forward with setting this for a public hearing and allowing the applicant to either come into compliance or we move forward with, at this time, I put it in the health departments around, see if they come into compliance before we move forward with the consideration. Councilor, would that be okay with you?
I have a concern to see that.
So my motion would be to move forward with a public hearing with the applicant and the Board of Health to see if the licensing for the Board of Health comes to fruition. Are you compliant?
I think your motion is basically just to set a public hearing.
Right.
Second amendment.
Commissioner Rass?
Yes.
Commissioner Lisa Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Davis?
Yes. 7A, discussion and consideration of increasing general fund reserves from 3 months to 5 months. Mr. Brown Camp and your finance director.
Commissioners, if this is a special, currently the board has a resolution 21-028 that sets aside 3 months worth of. Reserve. And there's been some staff that perhaps we are in a financial position where we would like to make reset to 5 months, or at least that would serve moving from 3 months to 5 months reserve. So that's what's in front of us. It's just a consideration that the board so decides to do that, then we'll have that resolution.
Okay.
conditioning for the establishment. And that is very
reading that from both of us as the economy continues to fluctuate, it is imperative that we secure the operations of the county. I think the percentage in 5 months still, I'd like to see eventually, even 6-7 months of our operation, but this is a great initiative, a great beginning. I personally support the idea of going to the 5 months. Commissioners, any other discussion and comments?
Is that a motion?
I'll defer my motion to you, Commissioner.
I can concur, Chairman. I think this is smart financial move to expand our reserves up to 5 months of operations for multiple reasons. Motion to move forward with increasing general fund reserve from 3 months to 5 months of operations.
Second motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Cruz?
Yes, sir. I'm back. And here is 7A, consideration of a CDPHG grant for Justice Center. Sheriff Navarrete, thank you for sticking around.
We started to think about that our facility, our staff. It's been kind of a project we've been working on for quite some time. We've got some companies that actually specialize in these air traffic units or facilities. And this certain company that we're working with helped us get started with the grant of funding in the state. So it's been quite a big process, but I don't know if you've really been that. I sent for the contract, it's quite lengthy. I was advised to bring it to you, but they have me as the signature on it, and I think I'm okay to do that as long as board approves that. It's a reimbursable grant, so whatever we spend, we get it back. It's a lot, but it'll be up front. But I think we have that. Real quickly, I'll just kind of skim over what this is going to do for us. These level of air purification units will be comparative to that of hospitals. They're going to be able to absorb 99% of total flu, COVID, fungus spores, other airborne bacteria and viruses. It'll be for the entire facility, not just the jail area. They are set to last for about 10 years, so hopefully it'll be a good addition. We're going to actually purchase some filters after we change the initial purchase enough for 1 to 2 changes, which are usually every year or 18 months. The grant's also going to pay for training on how to change these units to shape that for our maintenance. And we also have to keep the data position in the office to train on that, so that's part of that. Another project we've been working on, we can't turn away on the best needs to keep our staff doing something that's
well, the only concern I have is for the signatory, it's not going to affect the county. Is resigning as a grantee because it's not a contract other than we have to have the funding available up front, right? Ms. Foley, are we announcing okay to move on?
We are. So, when will you pick that up? I guess I am involved in this grant.
Oh, we already have to sign it.
Oh, so you already called, so yes, I just need to ask you, too. I need to put in the budget then, right?
Yeah, so that's what I was trying to do with this for. We're
is this fiscal or is this, so as soon as it's going to come effective, what?
I think as soon as They sign and then we'll all do is get this from the estimates, costs, block in the day, and then we just file for.
And then it'll run into 2023?
That'd be so.
Expires July 31st of 2023.
I think maybe the July is a lot of.
Yeah, that's what I said, okay. Yeah, there's no issues, I'm saying, because as soon as they invoice, that I'm saying, who will handle the reimbursement? Are you handle it or how's that?
I think what we'll do is kind of work as with those grant portals, not submit for the reimbursement at all. Oh, I've had some talks with students. So we just have to bring them in. They gave us some tips, and I'm not sure the cost of the students.
Are they in $198?
Yeah, I think that is what they're setting aside, and I don't need to only see that. It's quite that much. But without being both.
The going forward, one of the my only questions here is the contractor will be working with someone directly for the installation of the air filter purification system, and as the grant expires, I would imagine that we're going to have to continue whether we get to 2025, 23, or 24. Next award, because we will, I would imagine we're going to have to continue about the same purification filter, so that's going to be invited for the subsequent.
Right, and that might be in a year or two, they're going to be enough for a year of filters that have.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure this is part of the guidelines to kind of get money guidelines.
Yes.
As long as, I mean, I think the information is there, and you know, the total request, but close to $200,000, so that.
Yes, it's 100% grant, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Any other questions, commissioners? I will entertain a motion.
Move that through the approval of the CPHC grant for the justice.
Second motion.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Peterson?
Yes. Thank you, Sheriff.
Sheriff, thank you. And once I get that signed, I'll give you a copy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Section 8, financial matters. Consideration of bills and payroll for the second half of September 2022.
Payroll as of September 30th was $194,377.16. Do we have any questions on payroll? Bills paid on September 21st, $79,591.90. Our grant 15 from FAA was $18,125.50. That's for, I think this is for the design part of the grant. Correct?
That's correct, you actually get
it. Yes, that's the design. And then Fisher's Peak Study, we paid out $14,044.04. Bills paid on September 28th. Was $182,890.91. Within them, we paid powder crushing for gravel crushing for $126,900. We paid 2022 dues to COG for $13,000, and then some road bridge repairs for $7,446. And that's it for September.
Any discussion? Any questions? Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve bills and payroll for the second half of September 2022.
Second motion. Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Peterson?
Yes. Section 9, executive session. The board will meet an executive session under CRS 24-6-402-4B, confirmed with the county attorney for the purposes of receiving legal advice on specific legal questions. A, overpay. B, T-Mobile, C, Work Permit, D, BLM, E, FAMLI. It's time, a motion to adjourn this meeting and go into executive session with a recess.
Move to adjourn this regular board meeting and move into executive session.
Second motion.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hens?
Yes.
Commissioner Pinkton?
Yes.
Thank you everyone for being here.